foreign assistance, and U.S. security. Most of today's politicians in the United States have a primitive view of foreign assistance when they think of it at all. There was once a glorious tradition at the start of the post-war era when General George C. Marshall recognized that aid to Europe would be vital for achieving American post-war political goals. As Marshall famously put it, "It is logical that the United States should do whatever it is able to do to assist in the return of normal economic health in the world, without which there can be no political stability and no assured peace. Our policy is directed not against any country or doctrine, but against hunger, poverty, desperation, and chaos. Its purpose should be the revival of a working economy in the world, so as to permit the emergence of political and social conditions in which free institutions can exist. Such assistance, I am convinced, must not be on a piecemeal basis as various crises develop." Truman's aid to Greece and Turkey, Eisenhower's aid to Taiwan and Korea, Kennedy's launch of the Peace Corps, and Johnson's support for India's Green Revolution evinced the same guiding purpose: to use aid to further economic recovery and development, and by doing so, further the long-term stability and goodwill of the countries in question. Unlike aid today to Iraq or the ongoing funding of Israel and Egypt, aid in its heyday was seen not merely as a payoff to allies, but as a true instrument of development. It was understood that poverty could foment violence and instability, so the ultimate goal of aid as development assistance needed to be taken seriously. Even today, the U.S. security doctrine officially recognizes the linkage of aid to overseas stability, and thereby to U.S. national security. The 2006 National Security Strategy states, "Effective economic development advances our national security by helping promote responsible sovereignty, not permanent dependency. Weak and impoverished states and ungoverned areas are not only a threat to their people and a burden on regional economies, but are also susceptible to exploitation by terrorists, tyrants, and international criminals. We will work to bolster threatened states, provide relief in times of crisis, and build capacity in developing states to increase their progress." Yet the United States fails to act on that linkage. It has promised time and again to support impoverished countries in order to help them escape from poverty, but then it has failed to deliver, except in a few exceptional projects. In 2002, the United States committed to make concrete efforts towards the international target of 0.7% of GMP in official development assistance, ODA, in the Monterey Consensus at a global conference attended by President Bush. Yet senior U.S. officials then rejected that goal and disowned any such effort. The United States said that it would not be pinned down to a numerical aid target, even one to which it had agreed, and even one to which the European Union had set a timetable for delivery. The extreme of U.S. disdain for foreign assistance came in 2005, in the lead-up to the United Nations World Summit. The U.S. ambassador to the UN, John Bolton, tried to expunge the very concept of Millennium Development Goals from the outcomes of the summit, even though the MDGs were the centerpiece of the fight against poverty. At high cost to U.S. prestige, the U.S. government put itself squarely, if briefly, on the record as disowning the shared international objectives. A firestorm ensued, in which virtually every country of the United Nations objected to the U.S. proposal. The United States backed down under the furious protest, but great damage had been done. The U.S. government had shown an ugly face, one ready to launch a war in Iraq, but not ready to honor even the most basic commitments to the world's poorest and dying people. Ironically, on the opening day of the World Summit, September 13, 2005, President Bush not only declared America's commitment to the MDGs, "We are committed to the Millennium Development Goals," but he also thanked more than 115 countries and nearly a dozen international organizations for offers of help to the United States in the wake of the devastation of Hurricane Katrina. President Bush is sometimes praised for reinvigorating aid to the poorest countries, but this is mostly the result of starting from a meager base, not a true reflection of the adequacy of the U.S. aid effort. The president launched one respectably funded development program, the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief, PEPFAR. But even that effort has been hamstrung by right-wing ideology preaching a scientifically unjustified and ineffective strategy of abstinence rather than condom use to prevent HIV transmission. He also launched two other programs, the Millennium Challenge Account and the President's Malaria Initiative, but both were poorly funded relative to needs. As for the rest of the assistance effort, the President has actually cut other aid programs in Africa to make room for spending in Iraq. And as discussed previously, the administration gutted the U.S. support for family planning, again an assault from the right-wing constituency.